learn the understanding, but he also gives us a wonderful
privilege of seeing the things of the kingdom. I was sharing, when you are born, first thing, when you are born of God by His Spirit, what happens? The opportunity God gives is an opportunity to see the things of the kingdom. Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, must be born again. And when you are born again, you begin to see the things of the kingdom. You begin to see the things of the kingdom. And I think that's where sometimes we fail to see. And we fail to see whether we are truly born again. What we see with our eyes, natural eyes, is the natural things. And sometimes when we see those things, our reactions are different. I'm reminded of the servant of Elisha. Elisha was a prophet renowned, and every time he gives a prophetic utterances, it is come useful to the nation of Israel. And particularly when the Syrian army was continuously attacking the state of Israel, every time the Syrian army, so powerful, failed to win the battle, mainly because the Elisha, the prophet, tells the king of Israel, this is the way they are going to come, and they will, so this, they will come from this side, or they will come from this way, so they are, Israel is very well prepared. So finally the king of Israel called the army, the commanders, and asked, how do we, every time we go, the Israel knows where, from which side we are coming. So the commander said, we will never be able to win as long as there is this man. He knows what we are eating. Though he is 1,000 miles away, he knows what we are eating in Syria. Unless you get hold of this man and get rid of him, we are not going to win. So the Syrian king one day decided to do that. And then he surrounded the place where the Elisha was. And then one morning the servant of Elisha got out of the house, and when he went out, he saw the Syrian army surrounded. And he came running back, and Elisha was as cool as a cucumber. He was not at all perturbed. Then he asked, what's the problem? He says, we are finished. The Syrian army has surrounded us. Then he said, the people who are with us are bigger than the people there. And this fellow still couldn't understand. And he was shivering in utter fear. And then finally, Elisha told the Lord, let these eyes be opened. And then he saw the chariots of fire and the army of heavenlies behind the Syrian army. And that exactly happens to us. Very often we fail to see the things that God has for us. We fail to see the power of God. We fail to see what God can do for us. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, if thou believest, that you will see the glory of God. You see, today for people, seeing is believing. Yes. But what happens is, you have to see with your eyes that God gives you. Then you see something much beyond the realm of natural. The realm of natural ease, when you see something, you get perturbed, disturbed, fear comes to you. But when God shows you something, that's something which is much more. That's how Jesus. Jesus saw everything. He was not at all upset. He was in the deep part of the boat. When the waves were rising up, he was fast asleep. He knew what is going to happen. And he was crossing to a next town. He knew that he has to pay tax. So the disciples were worried. He was not worried. And he saw a fish in the sea with a coin in its mouth. So he saw before it. And then once he wants to go to the Jerusalem in the Passover day. So he told the disciples, you go to the street. You find a donkey tied. You speak to them and bring him. And the one occasion when the disciples asked, where shall we have our Passover? He said, you go this way, there is a man that you will carry a pitcher and follow him. So what happens? Jesus was able to see the things of the kingdom, though he was in the natural. But whereas when it comes to us, we fail to, though we are, you know, the first thing John 3:3 says, verily, verily I say unto you, you must be born again. When you are born again, you begin to see the things of the kingdom. And when you see things of the kingdom, and I think you will see that the possibilities that take place in the kingdom. In fact, that God time to time gives a wonderful opportunity to see many things in the kingdom of God. But tonight we are going to understand something again very important. We are going to see our position in the Lord before the foundation. Before the foundation, the Bible says that we were in the mind of God. And here even this verse says, Jesus said, notwithstanding, this rejoice not. The spirits are subjected unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. When has these names been written in heaven? And what does the name resembles? You know, we have natural names. And behind this name is a man, physical man. In the same way, the Bible says that our names are written. And I think that's exactly that we need to understand. We need to have an understanding the meaning of the name that God has given to us. Not the name that I have right now. But there's a name that God has given to us, because then God will permit me and you as the bride of Christ to know the name that God has given to us. And when we begin to see that name, what that name represents, then we are going to really have something happen to us. You remember I told you about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a man who wants to make a lot of money. His stature was short, but he wants to make a lot of money. All through his life he made money either good or in a bad way. And finally, when Jesus was coming passing that way, he decided to climb on the sycamore tree to see the Lord. But when the Lord really came to his house, the Jesus made it possible for Zacchaeus to see who he is. In other words, Jesus says, you are from the lineage of Abraham. Being a son of Abraham, you cannot be like this in this condition. You cannot be a person who have tried to amass wealth. So he, when Jesus came, Jesus himself said, salvation came to this house. In other words, Zacchaeus knew his position in the Lord. So as a result of understanding his position, what he found was, 50% of the wealth he gave it back to the poor. Another 50%, he said, I have taken in the wrong way from people, I am going to give them fourfold. You see, one of the things that we would understand from the scripture, that God will enable you and me to understand my position in the Lord. Who am I in Christ? What is my name? And when the Lord reveals it to me, then we realize that position that I am in is not the right position I should be. Because I am a son of God, and that's exactly Zacchaeus did. He got rid of everything which is not of him. Recently I saw a news write-up, the famous statue of David, which is in Florence, Italy, is going to move from its location because of the number of tourists that are coming and blocking the road and traffic. You know, the Michelangelo, he sculpted that statue of David. It's a masterpiece. It's an absolute masterpiece. I have not seen it physically, but I have seen it in pictures. So one day, when after the completion of this statue, Michelangelo looked and he was so thrilled with it. So his friends came and asked him, how do you manage to make this statue just like, look like it's so amazing, like David? How do you manage to make such a masterpiece like that? Because his friend saw him taking a huge stone of marble, and with that square stone, and finally he brought a masterpiece, which is the David at the age of young age. And then when they asked him, he said, what did you do to get that statue just like his him? Because once he created him, that statue, he says, the only thing is this does not have life. Otherwise it is just so much of resembles David. Then he said, I had the vision of David, who David should be in the as a person who with the very character of God. All the things that is written about David was coming to my mind. And when I looked at this marble pillar, and I took this thing and removed everything, there is not, could not be David. So he removed piece by piece from marble, everything that does not resembles that vision that he had of that marble. And finally, once he completely removed everything from that stone, he got the statue, which is a masterpiece. That's exactly what the Lord wants us also. He has a beautiful picture of you and me before fall. He has a name written for me and you. But he looks for that status. And then the God gives a revelation of what is expectation. And that's what the Holy Spirit is given to us. And that we begin to mesh up to that expectation. Like Michelangelo got rid of everything that is not of David from that square marble pillar. There are certain things that God wants us, you and me, falling into that exact, the model, or to the very name that he has. Because the Bible says our names are written in heaven. When does he write? Let's see. We want to just help you to understand few more important things what we have been showing you. Now, during our studies in the last 1 year and thereafter, We have gone through the book of Revelation. We have gone through the seven church ages, which were 14 parts. It's in the website now. The faith mix and our own. And then that covers the book of Revelation up to the fourth chapter. The whole book of Revelation up to the fourth chapter. Then we continued the seven seals. And that covers from the fourth chapter up to the 11th, 12th chapter. And few portions of 15th chapter. Today we are going to go through two important chapters. Chapter 17 and chapter 18. And going to understand some important aspects about the message that God gives the bride. So we find here we have a period of 2000 years. And from the time of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have important milestone coming here, where the bride of Christ is going to be changed and be raptured when the seven thunders, minister of the seven thunders take place. Then we have the period of 7 years of tribulation, and then we have a middle of that first 3.5 years. So we have been discussing many aspects of here in the scriptures. The opening of the seven seals, seven thunders, we discussed in the book of Revelation chapter 8, 10 up to 11, up 10 and 8. And the four angels, the four winds, 144,000 Jewish servants of God, seal we discussed in the chapter 7. Chapter 11, I explained to the two prophets who are going to be in the scene, where they are going to bring forth about these seven plagues upon the scene. And the chapter 8, which is the seven trumpets, seven woes, which is brought by to the world by the two ministry of the prophet. Then the chapter 15, the saints of God in the second half of the earlier, for second half of this place, we discuss about the two people, the saints of God, Jewish saints, and the foolish Christians who are going to be face martyrdom. So basically, we will see a little bit of chronology of the book of Revelation. As we complete these other studies, we will see the full picture of the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, we are going to understand today the Revelation chapter 17 and 18 and the message that God gives to the bride through this message, these chapters. To understand that, we need to understand this important emergence power that took place in the fourth church age. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who had his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are fine brass. And I know the works, the charity and the service and the faith and the patience, thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have few things against thee, because thou suffer that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things that are turn unto idol. If you remember, on the fourth church age, in the fourth parable, talk about this woman Jezebel, calleth herself a prophet to seduce the servants and commit fornication, eat things that are sacrificed unto idol. And I remember telling all of us, understanding the role of the emergence of the Catholic Church, which is the fourth parable, which talks about the woman who leaveth the three measures of meal. And he says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am with church of the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto everyone of you according to your works. You see, sometimes we think of, we feel sorry for these poor Roman Catholics. Definitely. The Bible says very clearly here, I will kill her children with death. There is no question about that. I think salvation is far from them. While God is merciful, He is very specific when it comes to pronouncing with regard to His word. So I will kill her children with death. In other words, the spiritual death. They will not have understanding. That's why in Matthew 13 says, kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which woman took and hid 3 measures of meal. So you remember, this is about the Roman Catholic system, the beast system, which really is a strong force in the world today when it comes to the spiritual work as well as political work. And even the sixth seal, when we study the seals in the Revelation 6, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And I want to remind you, once again, we went through this process, understanding this. In the fourth age, how? During the black horse period, which lasted, which is called the Satan's millennium. Satan has a millennium. His millennium lasted from AD 520 to AD 1520. It's a dark age, dark era of the world. That's what it is represented by this beast, the black horse. The black horse represents the dark age that was there on the face of the earth. During this dark age, millions of people over the world that have been taught to believe that all kinds of lies, it is not just poor little man, but also powerful rich men, great politicians of the world too, gave their respect to him, to the system, to the beast. Until that it come in the hour of AD 1520, the Reformation brought a wounded the Catholic Church. So that's resulted in the conclusion or coming to an end of the dark age, resulted in many progresses, many things that are resulting working better for the world. And as you see, during the dark age, I explained to you, dark age, why it's called dark age, there was nothing new was permitted to come. Whatever we have today in the world, particularly, you know, this modern conveniences has come in the last 100 years. So let's see what the Lord says in the message to Revelation chapter 17. Now in the chapter 17, Revelation, verse 1, and there came one of the 7 angels which had 7 veils, was, and talked with me, saying unto me, come thither, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth on the many waters. He says now, he is going to show, John is going to see this. He is going to see the great judgment of the great whore that sitteth on the many waters, and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 heads and 10 horns. So this woman, from where did she come? She sits upon a location which has 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written a name, the mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You remember last Sunday, how God brought the judgment on Sodom. You know, God brought the judgment of the Sodom and Gomorrah, where God really looked at that place and saw the abomination that take place. And that's why God sent two messengers, two angels, specifically to warn one particular family, not everybody, one foolish group of people. Because Lot was foolish enough to depart from Abraham. He was wise enough to go along with Abraham. You remember when Lot's father died? He was wise enough to go along with Abraham. And he came along with him. But when he was making a decision, because there was a conflict with the herdsman of Abraham and Lot, and Abraham said, okay, first you decide, where do you want to go? He looked at the greenery. He looked at the nice area. And he said, I will go to that side. So that's the beginning of the wrong decision of Lot. It's in fact a foolish decision. Had he been with Abraham, he wouldn't have faced the consequences that he had to face. That's exactly what is going to happen to the foolish virgins. Where are the foolish virgins? They are with the crowd. They are with the greenery. They are not with Abraham. They are not with the Abraham who represents the bride. So they are with the crowd of people which he feels, go along in the things of the world. And finally, when God was going to judge the place, when he was going to bring judgment upon the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sent this warning to them. And thereby, the Lot did not gain best out of his, because though he came out of Sodom without, he lost his wife and the son-in-laws. So 50% of his family gone. And that's what I say, the foolish virgins will go through tribulation and they would really face certain consequences of what God designed for them will not be there for them. But of course they will have eternal life, but they would lose to rule and reign like the bride of Christ. Now here it says that upon the forehead was written a mystery Babylon. Now this woman has a name, and it's called Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots. Now we need to understand, God calls this beast system a mother. And she is called a mother of harlots. That means she has daughters. An abomination of the earth. The Lord says abomination of the earth. And also, during these dark ages, that his millennium, Satan's millennium, this beast system was responsible for killing of nearly 68 million Christians. 68 million Christians were directly responsible by the Roman Catholic Church for killing them. Because those people stood against that system, that beliefs, those rituals, those things that they propagated, and they were caught and they were really put into prison and killed, and many things, if you look at the history, you find that. I was able to download this picture. So you find every denomination representing, most of the denominations, mother and the harlot daughters. So all these people, they have a name other than the name of God. they are named. These names are abomination to the Lord. Revelation 17. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel, I tell thee, the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast thou sawest was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wander. He says about the beast, he said, the beast thou sawest shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wander. What happens here, very often you find that Satan tried to replicate what the Lord replicated, God replicated. He tried to replicate what God did. When Jesus went to the River Jordan and God incarnated Himself, and then it is the express image of the Father, until the Lord fulfilled God's divine plan and purpose and rose from the dead and says, all power in heaven and earth is given. So in the same way, Satan, he has identified his channel which he is going to bring the whole earth under his captivity. There would be a time the spirit that would ascend and from the bottomless pit and would come upon that man who represents this beast system. And one of these days we will see that beast system produce this man who sits in Vatican, would be fully incarnated with Satan, and he himself would be devil on the face of the earth in visible form when he begins to implement his plan. And the people, he says here, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They that dwell in the earth shall wonder who? Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation. So there is a group of people, they are not going to wonder about it, they know. But these people whose names were not written from the book of life from the foundation. So those people who are there are going to wonder, the people who are not, their names not written in the book of life. From when? Before the foundation. So before the foundation, before the foundation of the earth means when the Lord created this whole earth, before that, before He created this earth, before the fall of Adam, that God, we were in Him. And every one of us, if we are going to be part of the bride of Christ or true children of God, our names have been written by the Lord before the foundation. Our names have been written by the Lord in the book of life, in the book of life before the foundation. Now that is very interesting thing. That tells me that your name and my name have been written by the Lord in the book of life before the foundation. Before the foundation of the earth, or anything before Him. Now remember, when God creates something, He creates that and He sees that and it's beautiful. Because He looked at everything and He says, it is good. It is beautiful. So therefore, when God created you and me, before the foundation,
We were absolutely beautiful. We were great. We were awesome in the Lord. Because our names have been written by the Lord before the foundation. We will come to that. When they behold the beast that was and is not. You see, this role that the Catholic Church leader, the Pope, is a role that many people come and go. Many people come and go. That's why it's called the beast that was and is yet. In that position, there are many people that sit as the authority of that office. Here is a mind which has wisdom. Seven heads are seven mountains which the woman sits. And there is no question today where a woman sits. The city of Vatican and Rome is in the hill of seven mountains. Let's understand about the book of life. There are many references to this. And it says in Revelation 3:5, He that overcometh, same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out of his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation. And 7:8. And they that dwell on the earth wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the earth. So therefore, there is something called book of life. Book of life, and it has so many names. So what happens here? We want to find out whether your name and my name is there. Do you think that in heaven that God has so many books open and he writes, he gets angels to write like that?
No, there is nothing like that. If there is a book that God has given, it is here in this.
This is the book that God has given and reveals,
and your name has to be found here, inside here. You have to find your name inside here, and that's why it says it is written before the foundation. So what happens is, what is the name that God has given to you and me? The Bible says very clearly in this also, and I saw the dead, small, great, and stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And these, and there shall be no wise enter into anything that defieth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And if any man shall take away the word from the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the whole city, which from the things which are written in this book. So what happens here is, where is this book? You know, sometimes people, express people, you see, in angels have a name, write the names in the book. What happens here is, Jesus himself came as the Word. You know, he was the Word made flesh. When God created Adam, in him was all of us. In him was all of us. And when we were in him, we were very beautiful, because God designed before the fall of Adam, all of us to come forth and be as the genuine true sons of God, with the image of God, without any idea or any thought of evil in us. And that is exactly God created Adam in His image. And when Jesus was brought in, and He was reflection of the very God Himself, and He was the Word made flesh. So there are two books mentioned here. One is the Book of Life, other one is the Lamb's Book of Life. Are there two books here? No. There are no two books here. What happens here is, you know, John was to write everything. John was to write everything, and then he wrote all these things, what the Lord showed it to him. And then he says that whatever names that are not written, he says somebody who takes a word from this book, his name would be taken from the Lamb's Book of Life. Because Jesus, when He was confronted by even the disciples, when people were leaving Him, He turned to the disciples and asked, will you also leave? He said, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. So therefore, in Christ we were there, in Him. Inside, in Him, we were in Him. Like we were in Adam, who was the first Adam. And therefore, Lord is now trying to restore all of us back to the position or to the title that we have in the Lord. You see, sometimes when we see ourselves, you see, like Zacchaeus saw himself, and he was a different stature of a man. And he wants, all of his life, he wants to make money. But when the Lord came to him, and he knew that this is not the position that he should be, he should reflect something which stand for his name, count for his name. The name Zacchaeus is a name that is represents certain things in this world. And therefore, he knew that this is this position, the name that he has, is a name that represents his worldly position, his sinful position, his earthly status. It's in the flesh. But when the Lord came to him, what the Lord did was, He reminded him about Abraham. What happened to Abraham? I explained to you last Sunday what happened to Abraham. Well, God changed his name. You know, God changed his name. That's why God always deals with the name. God changed the name of Abraham. And that name is changed to suit the plan of God, suit the fulfillment of God, suit the design of God. Abraham was called Abraham. He represents the, so it is Israel, Jacob. His name was changed. So what happens here, Zacchaeus, who was an earthly name, with an earthly status, when he knew that he knew that this is not, this is the position, the name that he lives for, there were a lot of changes down here. Very often, the Lord always, you find, particularly look at Abraham and Jacob, when the Lord was designing his plan to fulfill his plan, immediately dealt with the name. And that is exactly when Jesus was born, Gabriel said, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from sin. So therefore, the Lord has a name for you and me before the foundation of the earth. And it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, means because Jesus himself knows, because he said, my sheep hear me, they know me. My sheep hear my voice and they know me. Because whatever that God has given to him, they will come to him. So what happens here, remember, now when you are going somewhere and suddenly somebody, you hear your name, shouting your name, and that's the sweetest thing that you can ever hear, is somebody calling your name. You'll never miss it. In the same way, when the Lord calls your name, which is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because from the book of Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, it is the story of the Bride of Christ. It is the story of fulfillment and God's divine design. So what happens here is that you and I have to match to the very beautiful name that the Lord has given to us.
In fact, you find that in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 6 and 7, even Paul quoted that. He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. Good news is the message of the kingdom. He said, how beautiful. Just imagine, the servants of God, he says, they are, how beautiful they are. And you can imagine how beautiful you and I would have been before the foundation of the earth. Because we were in the mind of God, and everyone has a name that God has given to us, where we were living up to the value or the status of that name.
And that's why it says, anybody whose name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there are so many things that they are going to lose. And in the same way, the Bible says, if your name is written, Jesus said, you know, he said, don't get carried away if the spirit are subjected to you, because he gave a lot of authority to them to heal, cast demons and all. He says, you know, these things are happening. The disciples were so thrilled. But he said, don't be carried away with those things. But most important thing is, make sure that your names are written in heaven. But your names are written in heaven, but the Lord wants you and me to match up to that name. And that's why the Bible says there is no other name given under heaven, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are supposed to match up to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastic 1, chapter 1, verse 9, the thing that have been and which have been, which is done, which shall be done, there is no new thing under the sun. He says, there is nothing new under the sun. Solomon says in his book here, written, there is nothing new. Yes, absolutely. There is nothing new under the sun. Of course, we have a lot of new innovations, new things coming. But what happens is, in the same process, if the system goes on the same human being, the sinful nature. That's why when God has to bring judgment upon Noah's day, they were also innovative like you and like this status. In the Noah's time, people were so innovative. The Bible says they were renowned people, great people. They brought great masterpieces. But the same thing happens over and over again. Normally people say the history repeats itself. Sometimes you know it has happened all again. You have this has happened, so there is nothing new. He says there is nothing new. But when it comes to God, he wants to create something new for you and me whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
So when the names are written, his expectation for us to fulfill
in Revelation 21, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is thirst a fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He said, behold, I will make all things new, because if you look at this world, it has really gone through the many cycles of processes. There's nothing new. All the old things are being repeatedly happen. And that's why he says, behold, I will make all things new. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar on the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven, from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. I will write upon him my new name. And I saw the new heaven and new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth pass away. There is no more sea. You know, as we were discussing, there is going to be a millennium rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is called the regeneration time. Regeneration time. That is the millennium rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thereafter, the Bible says that he will bring forth the new heavens and the new earth. He will completely clear the atmospheric universe, all these things, new heaven and new earth. And he says, I will give a new name. I will write my new name. Revelation 17:10. So, we will come to that, having understood this, when we were discussing about this woman. Revelation 17:10. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other one is not yet. And he that cometh, he must continue short pace. Now this again, we are going back to our understanding about the Catholic Church. It talks about the process. Seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and yet he is to come. He cometh, he must continue for a space of short time. You remember I told you about the Charlemagne, the last Roman emperor who abdicated his position to the Pope, and he continued only for a short time. And the beast that was, he is eight and he is of seven, and he goeth into perdition. Remember the beast, I told you, the Charlemagne, he abdicated his position and gave it to Pope, and he is of the really of seventh. And thereafter he went into take the spiritual law into his hands. And the ten kings, ten horns which thou sowest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received the power as one with the beast. We know that in the Roman system and the European beast system, we support that. The Bible refers to the eighth being of the seventh because the actual form of government which established by Charlemagne, which is the last Roman emperor who abdicated his political power to a spiritual power of the Rome. This form of government, which was really run by the Bishop of Rome or instead of emperor, then the head of bishop was called Pope. We explained that to you. Church government took over the state. Prior to that, it was the state over the church. The Pope was well on the way to complete the rulership. Ten horns in the scripture signify the ten political government that came about the break of the old Roman Empire. Beast referred in Daniel 7 and Revelation 6 is having seven heads and ten horns. The old Caesar's leadership went through different stages that brings the seven different heads. There was a little horn that on the devil kept exalting. Little horn that became the eighth or head. It was only seven heads on the beast, not eight. What is referred as the eighth is a part of the seventh head, It was ecclesiastical head actually stepped into assumed authority in the place of the seventh. So that's what in Revelation 17 mentioned that. When the Reformation started, the horn which had been elevated to become replaced the seventh head over the Roman imperial government, the head was wounded by the Reformation. For the period of time, the Pope became only the figurehead without the power of the political power. All these ten horns in the Europe, which are now belong to the European Union, they are the ones who gives power back to the Roman Catholic Church. When the time comes, the little horn that has eyes like a man and speak mouth like great things begin to speak, humanity was in the different kind of rulership. The Pope of Rome, the little ecclesiastical horn, began to the next exalt his position, and he had the eyes of a man. The Pope can see and appraise his position, and what one would see is passed from next one to take his place. Little horn get bigger and more powerful, more aggressive, and it was order of the Pope, Emperor of the Rome was doing. So the Emperor of Rome was doing what the Pope was telling them. So same thing is happening right now in the European system now. So you find, as I told you last Sunday, the Tony Blair, who involved in the Middle East, converted himself to Roman Catholic, and now he is going to make a major involvement, finally resulting bringing the unity between this Israel and the Roman Church. And these have one mind and shall give their power and the strength to the beast. This is to the kings of the nations. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And they that are faithful are called the chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, waters which thou sowest, they are the whole sitter, are the people and multitude. So remember, he says the whole sitters on the waters, it is the people. See, the millions of people are governed by the Roman Church. And the ten horns which thou sowest upon the beast shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked. You know, during the period after latter part of the tribulation, the second half of the 7 years, the power that Pope had with the European Union is going to be loosed. God had put in their hearts to fulfill this will and agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sowest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So let us look at the Rome, the Vatican, which this is the state of Vatican flag. You look at the most powerful state in the world today, the tiniest state, the smallest state, but they are the ones who control the whole world today through various means. And they are, I also explained to you, and most of the leaders in the European Union, including the new members that are joining from the Eastern European, are members of the leaders are Catholics. Revelation 18. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having the great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devil, and the cage of every unclean bird. And all the nations have drunk the wine of her wrath, and her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed and rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You see today, the Roman Catholic system stand as a spiritual organization to about 2 billion people. But they also stand as the most powerful a person in this earth who can influence the politicians and who can dictate many governments' rise and fall of things. And you see that this position, God is going to finally judge. And that's why it says that this great city would fall like the Sodom and Gomorrah, like I said the last Sunday. this great city is going to face the judgment from God. Because it says, the habitation of devils and a cage of every unclean and hurtful bird. Habitation of devils and the cage of every unclean and hurtful bird. That's the kind of explanation given by the scriptures about the state of the Roman Catholicism. And all the nations of the earth have drunk with the wine of a breath of fornication. The polluted the word of God and presenting something which is not really the true scriptures. And that's the very reason it says, and I heard the voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. At this moment, God is very specifically telling, if there are any people that belong to the Lord, in the beast system, in the Catholic system, or in the denominations, he says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not be partakers of her sins, that ye receive not her. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God remembered her iniquities, and reward he even as he should. I was reading some articles recently about the Italian mafia. And you would be surprised. And when mafia members die, there's some important priest from the Catholic Church participate in the ceremony of the burial. And also, the mafia in Italy are absolutely loyal to Catholic Church. Recently, Catholic Church, you would be surprised, recently Catholic Church bought a football team. Do you know that? You know, there are a lot of rich people have football teams, they buy over the clubs. And an important team, football club in Italy was taken over by none other than the Roman Catholic Church. And this football team also have links to mafia. And today you find in Rome and many parts, particularly in area in Italy called Sicily, which is absolutely terrific place. The mafia runs the show there. And their involvement is so high, and sometimes people wonder whether, because very difficult sometimes, they have so influential in many areas, and they even try to, you know, kill judges and do many things. And sometimes the church is aware of this. So what happens here, it is same with many parts of the world. There are many areas in Italy which the story of Roman Catholicism, Vatican, there are many things that you and I know that will be surfaced very soon. But what is important here for all of us is, come out of her, my people, that ye be not be partakers of her sins, and they receive not her plagues. You remember in the book of Revelation 17 starts saying that many people wander after her, go after her, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whose names are not written, they will wander and go after her. But there is a group of people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation. Before the foundation, it is written. But time is coming now, very soon, when things materialize, many things will materialize in Israel. During the last Christmas in Bethlehem, because of the fact that there was a temporary kind of agreement between the Palestinian president and the Israel prime minister, they were permitted to have the services, the Catholic Church services, and the Catholic Church had their Christmas service, and they look forward to the day that they are going to be they are trying to bring this aspect, the state of Israel and the Palestinians going to have two states, and thereby bring forth certain opportunity for Vatican to really move there and be take their positions. There are so many things are happening in the ground where you and I are not aware of it. But what is important for us is a very specific message come to the bride. For us to have nothing to do with her, nothing to do with anything that is involved with her. That is why we say, particularly, the denominational system. The denominational system is her daughters, because she also, daughters also follow what the mother do. They don't take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the most important thing that God has commanded them to be repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they do a lot of things what the mother does. And that's why we are told to come out of her, my people, that ye will not be partakers. So what happens is, these people he is talking about are the people whose names are not written, names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation. And I remember that when we came out of this system, we feel uncomfortable in that. I must tell you that, I don't know whether you are also sometimes going for the services of various other churches, but I want to tell you, when you come to the revelation of the Word of God, when you begin to understand the truth, when you begin to know what you are eating, when you go and eat something which is not really meant for you, you will have indigestion. You will not have something, you know, you are, when you are eating, he says, prophecy says, eat the book. It is sweet in your mouth, you are bitter in your belly. So you have to be very careful, some of us, you have to be very careful and take a very clear decision whether you want to be part of that group of people still, and take the, so he says, be not partakers of her sins and receive her plagues. You know, her plagues are many, and those plagues are which come from the denominator, from Catholics, mother to the daughters. The mother to the daughters is there. That is why you have to come out of that system. Be not partakers. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow, and give her, for she hath said in her heart, I sit a queen and no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, and death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, and strong is the Lord who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her. Let's see this once again for a moment. So we find here that in the 2000 years of church, we are somewhere here now. In the 1963, we were able to through the message that God sent, the seven seals were unraveled, and we are understanding since then, because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 7, in the days where the seventh angel begin to shout, the mystery of God is going to be unraveled.
So we are in this position where, as I told you last Sunday, where the ministry of the seven thunders would bring forth the message which will change our physical body. So we are in the fulfillment of Revelation 8:1, 10:1-11, and Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 11, and Revelation chapter 8. So what happens is then when these things, when we are gone, then begins the seven-year period of the tribulation. And during this period, God would bring forth those two men who is anointed by Him with the spirit of Elijah and Moses. And they would bring forth these seven woes. When the seven trumpets, remember, if you go to the Revelation chapter 8, when the seven angels, each angel open the trumpet, there are so much of chaos, destruction, calamity, the sun is going to be made dark, and so many things are going to herald by the ministry of these two messengers. And when these two messengers, during this period, will anoint 144,000 servants of Israel. And then, during this period, that Tony Blair and various other people will get together, result in certain compromise. And they are now trying to bring forth certain amount of negotiations. But what will happen is, when they are planning this, there is going to be a miracle war that is going to take place. There is going to be a miracle war. During these early stages of this period, when this miracle war takes place, that Israel is going to capture every land which belongs to them. That's the prophecy. It has to be fulfilled. And when that happens, they are also, during this period, they are going to build the temple. They are going to build the temple. And then that's why during this period, when it comes to the exactly half year, during this period also you see the Roman beast system come to a very powerful position in the world. Because the Bible says that he will go to perdition, because the spirit of Satan will get into him from the bottomless pit, and he will be absolutely reflection of Satan himself. And he would use the power so much, then he would bring the death upon all these two messengers. And then during this period, that 144,000 people will go forth all over the world and shows impending coming of the Lord to rule and reign with the everlasting gospel. And that's what we see these things. And that is the very reason that God is giving a short period of time right now. Again, He is telling His people to come back to Him and say, "My people, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people." Now this is recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. When you see chapter 17, chapter 16, 17, you see the blossoming of the Roman beast system with the 10 horns, and the man who sits as the 8th head, who is of the 7th, which is the Roman beast system, along with the European Union, that would blossom into greater power in the world that we are about to see in the take place. And the Lord says, "Come out of her and be not partakers." Therefore I urge all of us, have nothing to do with anything that has connection to the teachings which are not in line with the word of God. Anything that apostles stood for, the apostolic teachings which are the foundation with the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember
in Malachi chapter 4, verse says that we will turn the hearts of the children back to apostolic fathers. So when that take place, yet there are people who are part of the beast system, we need to come out. Revelation 8:10, and standing far off, a fear of her torment, alas, alas, great city Babylon, the mighty city, for none, 1 hour is judgment come. You remember the Sodom and Gomorrah, that God brought judgment upon that city. And that's why it says, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand far off, fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones. In 1 hour so great riches come to naught, and shipmasters and all the company of the ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood far off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto a great city? And they cast dust upon their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, the great city therein were made rich, all that ships. So it talks about this, the Roman beast system that going to blossom and going to become stronger, and because that's the center of all this business today. All the businesses that are taking place, the Rome is in the center of the whole thing. And I heard it was voice of great multitude, Revelation 19, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and give honor, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, his wife has made herself ready. And for unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, referring to the bride of Christ, referring to all of us. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. So while this one side, this political religious system goes on, then you find a group of people, the hour comes and they have got themselves ready. And to her was granted that she should array in fine linen, clean and white. But the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And I saw the heavens open, behold the white horse. It is set upon him called Faithful and True. And righteousness he doth and judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew himself. And he was clothed with a vesture which is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, and upon the white horses, and clothed in fine linen. Referring to the bride of Christ, who is gone in the rapture, is going to come back. They are the armies of God. And out of his mouth goes sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, treadeth the winepress of fierceness. And he hath his vesture, his thigh, the name written, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the earth 2000 years ago, he was not the King of Kings. He was the Lamb of God. He was the Good Shepherd. He was not willing to, because people tried to make him a king, they were not willing. He was not willing to do that also. Because he says, my kingdom is not of this world. And that's why the day would come where he is going to come, and we are whose names are written in heaven, because God has made ourselves rulers and reigners of this universe, this planet Earth. And that is why we are in him. God has given that name. You know, when Jesus comes, he comes with the new name. Nobody knows he came with a new name. Same with the name that God has written in heaven, before the foundation, in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name is written, my name is written. And I think the Lord tells us, the day would come that you are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. and that your name, that when God reveals your position in the Lord, because when God had that name before the foundation, you and I look beautiful to the Lord, and that beauty Lord is looking in you and in me. And when you have come out of the beast system, the Lord is revealing. That is exactly what He is doing to us. The Lord is revealing His word to us as we open His word, and the revelation comes to us. And when we see, one of the things which I saw recently in the scriptures is when God appears, when God's presence comes, His presence is called Shekinah. Shekinah means the motherly presence of God. You know, God is both male and female, though He has a masculine status, like we call Him Father. But He is like also mother to us. He has a caring presence for us. So that's why we, when we see who we are in Christ, who we are in God, when we see the things that God has for designed for us, we have absolutely no fear, even in this world, even in this country. We face so many consequences in this country. But I can assure you, remember the word of prophecy that came to us. He said that there is protection for His people. And He said there is going to be times of distress, but there is going to be protection. So that's why you and I have to see what we stand in the Lord. See what we are designed for us. And if we have come out of this beast system, because these things are going to happen in the world. So, the message to the bride of Christ is very clear. Have nothing to do with, nothing absolutely to do with the beast system and the plagues of this harlot system, because Lord has written your name in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray. As we spend a few moments before the Lord, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You and I have to reflect the status of that name. The status of that name is that you have to look beyond your natural status. Your natural man, your flesh, but God has made you a son and a daughter of Him and given you the title of Son of God. And the Bible says that your name is written in heaven. And therefore God is telling you, as absolutely be aware of the beast false system and has nothing to do with it. All this time, the Lord has revealed to us, particularly the book of Revelation. And we are going to complete the few chapters, and then book of Revelation will be very clear to all of us. And I don't think anybody has that revelation than we have in this small fellowship. Father, I pray very specially for every one of us tonight that you begin to, Father, reveal to each and every one of us, like Zacchaeus, get rid of what is not of, but stand for our name, but stand for our status of our name, and have nothing absolutely to do with the beast system. We are people who have come out, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pray in Jesus' name.